Hi, everybody. Welcome to RV Podcast, episode number 244.
It's time for the RV Podcast. Traveling North America in an RV. Exploring, camping, boondocking, embracing the RV lifestyle. And sharing tips and where to go and how to keep things running right. Here's award-winning journalist Mike Wendland and his network of RV reporters.
This week, everybody, in episode 244 of the RV Podcast, we learn about the best way to stay connected to the internet.
The carriers are constantly changing the offerings that they have for data. Personally, we choose to have both AT&T and Verizon.
We switch between them all the time.
I'd say it's about a 50-50 toss-up on which one we choose at any particular location based upon speed and just the signal and quality connection we can get.
In particular, because Verizon has such a reputation in the RVing world as being, the one to get, and it was earned in the past because they were the first one to have such a big, broad LTE coverage map. But in a lot of RVing hotspots, particularly in the season, the Verizon towers are so overwhelmed that switching to AT&T, or in particular to one of the lesser carriers like T-Mobile, is like getting out of the traffic jam, and suddenly you're blazing ahead of past all the other people who are stuck in that Verizon crowd.
Well, you'll hear much, much more about this from our guests this week, Chris Dunphy and Cherie Viard from the Mobile Internet Resource Center, which is, quite frankly, the best source I know of unbiased mobile internet information for U.S.-based RVers and digital nomads who must have reliable internet connections while on the road, whether for business or to keep in touch with friends and family, or maybe just to stream their favorite movies. How do you know what you should get? They're going to update us, and they'll be joining us in our interview of the week segment coming up in just a few minutes. But right now, my lifelong traveling companion and my bride, Jennifer. Hello, my dear.
Hello, Michael. And don't forget your canine buddy, Bo.
Oh, Bo is in with us. We were in the studio here recording, and there's a little window right off Jennifer's shoulder, and we looked, and there's a Norwegian Elkhound looking like, why am I not in there with you? So
he's having a great deal of trouble not being with us.
Yep. I think he's with us so much as we travel that he has to be with us all the time. So, or either that or, you know, we just need a lot of supervision from
that
canine.
Could be it. We need supervision.
Hey, we hope you all have recovered from Memorial Day and the three-day weekend. It always marks the unofficial start of summer. And the reports that we have seen indicated lots of people were out there in their RVs. Most of the popular camping locations and state parks and commercial campgrounds were filled. I know the weather was kind of iffy across large parts of North America during the weekend, but hey, even a bad day camping is better than most good days anywhere else, right?
At least that's what we tell ourselves. We've spent the past week working feverishly on a bunch of videos, the first of which will be coming out tomorrow, Thursday, May 30th, on our RV Lifestyle channel on YouTube. It's about the redundant internet systems we have installed in our RV. You'll get a bit of an idea of what we have when you listen to our experts in the interview of the week coming up. But Mike will be detailing the installation and configuration of the system we'll be using in our RV this summer, as well as before and after tests and how they improved connectivity.
Yep, and I think people will be fairly surprised at the results we got. We set off on the first leg of our extended travel for the summer next week, and that will have us traveling to Ontario, Quebec, and down into New York State and the Adirondack Mountains for the next several weeks. And I'm excited to see how not just our internet systems, but our upgraded electrical system modifications will perform, as we hope to do a lot of boondocking out there. Many of you, if you're a regular listener, you know we replaced the lead acid batteries on our RV last week with two battle-borne lithium batteries. We upgraded to a 2,000-watt inverter. We added a new solar controller and a new Bluetooth system that is pretty cool. This Bluetooth system gives me total control of everything from a tablet or the smartphone. And I know many of you have been asking us about that, and we should have a video ready to go on that next week, so stay tuned.
News. Mike's got news. RV news, travel news, inside information and trends that shape the RV lifestyle. Here's the RV news of the week.
Boise State Public Radio had an interesting piece last week on the Instagram effect on national and public-owned lands, as certain spots, such as Utah's Mesa Arch and Canyonland National Park or Arizona's Horseshoe Bend, have gone viral on social media. Suddenly, places just a few locals knew about are transformed into places where literally thousands arrive each day. These throngs are completely changing the feel of a location, and the article was an interesting look at how the Park Service is trying to respond.
We'll put a link to that on the show notes for this episode, rvlifestyles.com/244. And hey, don't forget our Instagram account as well. You can follow Jennifer and I on Instagram at RV Lifestyle Mike. That's our hashtag or our Instagram name. Just go to RV Lifestyle Mike and follow us there. We'd love to hook up with you on Instagram. And speaking of national parks, the 2018 National Park Visitor Spending Effects Study was recently released, and it shows the national parks contributed $40.1 billion to the economy last year, supporting 329,000 jobs. That report analyzes spending on such things as lodging and restaurants, grocery store sales in towns that are near the national parks. And it looks to me like a good report to use to get Congress to continue to invest in maintaining the country's national treasures.
If you're planning to head to Oklahoma anytime soon to camp, be sure to check whether your campground is open. Heavy rains in the area and bad storms has caused several popular spots to close. This is a trend we're seeing in other states, ranging from Kansas to Minnesota this spring. Bottom line, be sure to check ahead.
Those deciding to visit one of the 32, and they're all really nice, Arizona state parks this year, maybe handed a can of, not beer, don't get excited, guys, but water. The Arizona State Parks and Trails has teamed up with Four Peaks Brewing to give out cans of water to those visiting to help raise awareness and prevent heat injuries or even deaths, which often happen when outdoor enthusiasts don't bring enough water to dry, arid places like those state parks in Arizona in the summertime. The free water is in cans because aluminum is so much more recyclable, they say, than plastic bottles.
Did you hear about the crazy police chase last week in L.A. involving a stolen RV and stolen dogs? A 52-year-old woman is accused of stealing an RV. Police chased her, and inside were two terrified dogs, one of which jumped out the window during the chase. All on live TV, and the other apparently followed the woman who got out of the RV and ran before police caught her. The whole incident was horrible, with at least one person seriously injured. But what really got people talking was the terrified dogs, both of which were apparently stolen too.
We'll put a link to that story, which is continue to be followed. Just go to rvlifestyle.com/244. And this part of the podcast is brought to you by Rad Power Bikes, an electric bike manufacturer offering direct-to-consumer pricing and powerful premium electric bikes, now with free shipping and a special discount to listeners of the RV podcast. Jennifer and I love our Rad Power Bikes. We both have the city bike model. I have kind of the guy's version, you know, with that center bar you throw your leg over. It's kind of, you sit upright, kind of like a beach cruiser, but it rides like a mountain bike. Just so comfortable. Jennifer's is the city version as well, but it's the step-through model, which means there's no center bar to throw your leg over. We used to call them girls' bikes, but now they're for everybody. Just real easy. You just step through and you're on and off. Very simple. There's a whole bunch of different models they have. They have folding bottles, models. They have fat tire models, cargo bikes, mountain bike types, all sorts of e-bike models from Rad Power Bikes, and they all can reach 20 miles per hour with zero pedaling. They give you the choice to ride pedal-free with throttle, use five different levels of pedal assist if you want a little help, a little added boost. It's perfect for people who want to get back into riding, maybe recovering from surgery or injury, looking for some transportation when you're at a campsite and you don't want to have to tow a car. You can go between 20 and 40 miles on a single charge and often priced at half that of comparable bikes because with Radpar Bikes, that dealer retail markup chain is cut off. Here's the deal. If you mention RV Lifestyle at checkout, you will get an additional $75 off plus free shipping on all their bike models. Again, use the coupon code RV Lifestyle for an additional $75 off. Visit them, radpowerbikes.com.
Questions? You've got them. Mike and his network of RV reporters have the answers. Here's one of our questions of the week.
Well, here's one that came in from somebody who calls themselves an avid reader of our blog and all of our stuff here on the RVLifestyleChannel.com. If you know of a service, please tell us, that carries RVs on a barge down the Mississippi River. Wouldn't that be fun?
That would be a ball.
Or any other way to do this inexpensively. We would enjoy a riverboat cruise, but the cost is prohibitive. Well, I spent some time researching this.
Good.
Doesn't that sound fun?
Yes.
Wouldn't you love to do that?
Yes, I would.
There were two companies that did that. And you would drive your RV on, and they even had hookups on the barge. So you could be in your RV, sleep in your RV, and you're cruising down the Mississippi from St. Louis down to New Orleans, all plugged in. That would have been so, well, they both went out of business.
Aww.
Yeah.
Obviously, word wasn't out there.
I don't know. And the reviews people gave were great. They were both doing this about 15 years ago.
Aww.
And but best as I can tell, both of them have discontinued service. They've gone out of business. Now, there may be other companies that do it. I don't know. If you know of one, let us know. And if you've ever been on one of these cruises, let us know, because I think, along with our reader that sent that email, I'd like to go do that one.
Yeah, I think it's hard to have a boat that can carry enough RVs to make, you know, cost.
Those barges are pretty long, so they can, you know, they can get 20, 30 of them on there, I think. And I think they have cabins as well, at least the picture mm-hmm. I saw, the ones that used to be in business. But alas, they're not there anymore. So
it's probably like people don't know about Lake Michigan, how you can take the boat across Lake Michigan.
That is one of our favorite trips. We avoid all that traffic in Chicago, and we get on when we're heading west. We always make time, if we can, either going or coming, to get on at Muskegon, Michigan. And there is a ferry that runs straight across the lake to Wisconsin. I think it's Manitowoc, Wisconsin, I think is where it goes. Mm-hmm. And you can take your RV on that. They even take Class A's.
But the bad part is they won't let you stay in your RV.
No. You have to hang around on the deck or...
Yeah, and your pet has to be in your RV, or they have a little cage where you can leave your pet.
Yep, they don't let them run around the boat. But,
no.
And it's only a 6-8 hour trip. 6 hours, I think it is. And we've rented a stateroom a couple of times. Do we ever stay all night and just hang out on the deck? I don't think we did.
No, we've had the stateroom.
We've gotten the little stateroom.
Because it was the middle of the night.
Yeah.
You had just had surgery. And,
yep.
Yeah, we didn't feel like sitting up all night.
We had that. That was the year I got my gallbladder out on the road.
That sounds, am I picturing somebody taking your gallbladder out in the middle of the road?
Well, yeah.
But people know what they know what you mean. Your intent, not your words.
2.5 years ago, we were headed west, and I had this weird pain, and I called my doctor, and he said, go to the nearest big city hospital. It turned out to be the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. So
there we were at the emergency room.
And they took out my gallbladder, and 2 days later, we were back on the road. We went out west and then came back. But
the bottom line is, if you have a pain, don't start a trip.
Yeah.
You always believe in denial.
I do. It's easier that way.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to that question. If you know of a barge trip down the Mississippi that would take an RV, let us know and we will spread the word. That would be so much fun. And again, we like your questions. We really enjoy your questions. And the best way to get your questions to us, you can email them at mikeandjen@rvlifestyle.com. But we like hearing your voice. There's something about being much more personal when you just leave us a voice message. And we have a special telephone set up for that. You can leave a message on it. It'll record your question or your comment.
You can do it over a couple times.
You can do as many times as you want. Just 586-372-6990. 586 372-6990.
Because we want you to sound good.
We do want
it makes you sound us good. Look good, so we won't put you on the air if you don't sound good.
That's right. So, but we love hearing your voice. It makes us feel like we're not alone out here. All right, time now for the interview of the week. And our guests this week for the podcast are Chris Dunphy and Cherie Viard. And together, they are the brains behind the Mobile Internet Resource Center, which is the best source I know of unbiased mobile internet information for U.S.-based RVers and digital nomads who must have reliable internet connections while on the road, maybe for business, maybe to keep in touch with friends and family, or maybe they just want to stream their favorite movies. Now, together, they have been on the road and on the water. They're also boaters for more than a decade, running their businesses from RVs and boats on the internet in the process of becoming experts. They have become probably the number one experts on mobile internet connectivity for RVers. So we'll have a link to all their resources in the show notes for this episode. So if you're driving or you're working out at the gym or on a walk or doing work or something, don't worry about having to get a pencil right now, because we'll have them in the show notes. You just go to rvlifestyle.com/244. rvlifestyle.com/244. You'll find the show notes there. The links will be there. And there's a full transcript of the interview if you want to just read it. And also this week, we're going to run a video of the interview, so you can watch the interview as we recorded it. But this couple has a lot to teach us about staying connected online, whether for convenience or necessity. And in this interview, I think you're going to find some new ideas and learn a lot. So listen up. Well, joining us now from their boat in just off Brunswick, Georgia, is Chris and Cherie. You guys, thank you so much for being with us, and it's good to have you back.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's always a pleasure.
So let's start with some of the changes that have probably happened in the connectivity world that affect RVers and I guess boaters too, but particularly RVers. That's majorly our audience. They all want to know what's the best solution for them. And of course, we all know that it depends on what your circumstances are. But walk us through what RVers need to consider as they look at maybe upgrading the way they stay connected to the internet while they are on the road.
Well, the first thing you have to do, and absolutely understand, is that what works best is what works best at your current location. And that's a variable for us RVers. We're always moving our locations. Our houses have wheels. So what works today while you're in one location may not be the best choice when you get to your next location. So if mobile internet is important to you, we think it's very important to have multiple options on board. So a lot of us are relying on cellular these days, or having data plans on AT&T and Verizon tend to be the top two carriers that give us the most nationwide coverage.
And sometimes Wi-Fi has got a bad rap, and sometimes it really is well-earned, but other times Wi-Fi is worthwhile, and it might be useful to have gear to take advantage of a Wi-Fi network you come across. And if you are going out into really extreme locations, there's also a place for satellites. So those are kind of the three major avenues to go down and pursue, depending on what your exact needs are.
Well, let's take all three of those and start off with talking about cellular. And everybody's got a cell phone. Do you recommend that that people carry more than two phones or from different networks?
Well, the first thing you have to consider is a smartphone the right choice for a mobile internet connection? If your needs are very simple, maybe you're traveling solo, or you're just needing to check email and do some surfing, then a smartphone is great. But if you're working remotely, you're doing a lot of things that require a dedicated data connection, then you probably want to be looking at a dedicated data solution. So either a Jetpack or MiFi, which is a term for a mobile hotspot. Having a dedicated hotspot device or a cellular embedded router is going to serve you better so that you can focus on the cellular data.
And then when you talk about the alternatives of whether you should carry more than one carrier, The way we look at it is, if you're jumping out of an airplane, do you want to have a reserve parachute? And if you're working online, or if you're really dependent on being connected, having that second carrier, even if it's just a backup plan, can make all the difference in the world. For some people, it makes the difference between potentially not being able to work, getting fired, or being able to maybe miss out on something that's very important for them online. But other people, internet's not so critical. So if they have a bad connection, if they're in a bad Verizon zone, they can deal with it for a couple of days, as opposed to pull the ripcord and switch to AT&T.
Is there, let's get your recommendation for the most reliable of all those networks. And I know they all go back and forth, but we all have our favorites. And in your experiences, you've traveled, does any one network particularly stand out, or are they pretty much a toss up?
It really depends upon your location. It depends upon the data plan that you have. The carriers are constantly changing the offerings that they have for data. So you really have to look at where are you planning to travel and how important is mobile internet for you. And we personally choose to have both AT&T and Verizon. And
we switch between them all the time.
I'd say it's about a 50-50 toss-up on which one we choose at any particular location based upon speed, and just the signal and quality connection we can get.
In particular, because Verizon has such a reputation in the RVing world as being, the one to get. And it was earned in the past because they were the first one to have such a big, broad LTE coverage map. But in a lot of RVing hotspots, particularly in the season, the Verizon towers are so overwhelmed that switching to AT&T, or in particular to one of the lesser carriers like T-Mobile, is like getting out of the traffic jam, and suddenly you're blazing ahead of past all the other people who are stuck in that Verizon crowd.
Now, that begs the question, T-Mobile and Sprint supposedly going to merge. I think they've cleared a couple of the roadblocks. That makes a potential third one that might not be a bad
thing. Correct. Yeah. If the merger is approved, and as of today, it has gotten the nod of approval from the FCC, and now they're going through the Department of Justice antitrust. Those are the next hurdles to go through. We could be seeing that merger be approved sometime in June or July. If that goes through, that is going to provide T-Mobile and Sprint's combined power, their holdings for frequencies and spectrum, gives them a huge advantage.
It'll be three giants instead of two giants and two
minors,
two secondaries.
And that makes for competition, which makes really for better service and for better pricing, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And for us travelers who are going to more remote locations, so right now T-Mobile and Sprint, their individual holdings are so much more focused in very populated areas. They're going to have spectrum holdings that allow them to get out into the more rural and backcountry areas, which will be very important.
Now, with, say, somebody that says, well, you know what, I'm going to add Verizon with my AT&T, or add AT&T with my Verizon account, do they need to get then a separate data card for that if they're going to go with a Jetpack or a MiFi, or will that MiFi Jetpack work with both carriers?
So most Jetpacks or mobile hotspot devices are optimized for each carrier. So a Verizon Jetpack, it only really picks up the frequency bands that Verizon uses. And there's some crossover with AT&T, but you're going to be missing out on AT&T's key frequency band. So we don't generally recommend it. If you want one device to rule them all, then you want to go with a non-carrier branded cellular embedded router, like a Cradlepoint or a MoFi or
a PepWave.
And where do you find those?
They're more typically sold to business customers and to like fleets of like putting them inside police cars and ambulances and stuff. So you have to kind of, you're not going to walk into a Verizon store and get this. You have to do your homework, and we've got them reviewed and linked to where you can buy them and stuff. But you can get them on Amazon. You can get them from places like 5G store, but you have to know what you're doing. They're not really consumer focused products.
Well, you guys, and we will put links into your great sites, all your resources. We'll put that in the show notes as well. So, all right. So let's just say the average RVer who really does depend on connectivity now more than ever. If you don't do much, just use your hotspot. But so you got AT&T, you got Verizon. What about the data plan? Many of us have been really stung, me in particular, with Verizon and their quote unlimited plan, which suddenly finds me after I do one live stream on a Sunday night being throttled. or having it held back or put in the, you know, I don't know how to explain it, but I guess you can do that better than me. What happens when you reach that limit and they, quote, throttle you on your unlimited plan that isn't so unlimited after all?
Right. So we are constantly tracking the best data plans for RVers to use as a basically what we call a home internet replacement. And those are data plans that provide a lot of high speed data. And unfortunately, Verizon's best option just retired this past Tuesday.
So everyone who's hearing this has missed out. But we tried to get the word out onto every outlet we knew about with newsletters and alerts and stuff.
But to include in your show notes, put a link to mobileinternetinfo.com/plan picks. And these things change sometimes on a weekly basis. So I'm even afraid to mention specific plans right now, because even if you're broadcasting this today, it could change by the time we get off this call. But we're constantly updating that guide, and we have our top pick data plans for each of the four carriers listed there.
And
the important thing.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm just gonna say I'm going out to get an AT&T set up after this interview, so I will look at theirs as well. I'm looking for the best.
Yeah, unfortunately for AT&T right now, the best data plan from them, direct from them, is going with their home base unit, which is designed for home internet, and they have a 100 gigabyte plan for $100 a month, and they have had that steady for the last year.
Yes, but if you are kind of,
can you
going...
put that in an RV though? It's a home plan.
Oh yeah, it is a portable. It is on their cellular plan. It's not their fixed home base. They do certify it for mobility. Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, you're talking about the WineGuard Connect T2 in the pre-show, but the To-Go branded version of that, the To-Go Road Link, is available with an AT&T plan that is $360 for an entire year of unlimited data with no data caps on that. So that's
a great option.
Have to get the device. You have to get this big dish on your roof, this big dome on your roof, but it comes with an incredible deal on an AT&T data plan.
All right. So we've kind of walked through that. Now let's go to, we've got the data plan, we got the carrier, we got the jetpack, but we sometimes are in areas where those cell signals are pretty miserable. And that's where a cell booster comes in. What are the ins and outs we need to know about that?
So cellular boosters are an okay option. When you're really remote from a tower, they can be what actually gets you connected. But a core technology of LTE, which is what the cellular carriers are currently using, is a concept called MIMO, which stands for multiple in, multiple out. And that just basically means that our cellular devices, your smartphone, your jetpack, your routers, they have at least two antennas inside of them so that they can hear. It's kind of like us having two ears.
And when you use a booster, it is like plugging an ear and putting a megaphone in one. And there is actually a lot of situations where a booster will slow you down. And we're always trying to give people kind of a booster reality check of, don't use your booster all the time. Use it only when you really need it. And you probably don't need it nearly as often as you think. It's actually hurting your performance in a lot of cases.
And 80% of the time we find in our extensive testing, we do head-to-head testing with boosters and antenna setups, is having a MIMO antenna or two antennas plugged directly into your cellular device will outperform a booster.
Yeah. And it's often a lot more affordable to have an antenna. There's one of our favorites is the Netgear MIMO antenna, which is about $30, and it'll plug into most mobile hotspots. And you just suction cup that into a window, and it is a wonderful, wonderful performer.
And this, again, we can send everybody to all your resources online.
I have a direct link to the Netgear MIMO antenna, mobileinternetinfo.com/netgear-MIMO.
And what we're talking about cell phone boosts is the other thing about them that people, particularly in smaller RVs, Class Cs or Class Bs, B pluses even, is that thing called self-oscillation and antennas that have to be, the outside and the inside have to be so far apart, or the amplifier and the antenna. Help us understand that in non-geek speak. What's involved with that?
Have you ever been to a conference or somewhere where someone's speaking with a microphone and they walk with their microphone in front of the speaker and you get that squealing sound?
There you go. Yeah.
Okay. That is the same thing that is happening with
the radio waves.
We don't hear them, but our devices do. And basically, if you're placing your exterior antenna too close to your interior antenna, that exterior antenna is picking up the signal from the inside antenna instead of from the tower. Mm-hmm. And it's that same feedback loop that we hear when we have a microphone in front of a speaker.
And therefore, it has pretty much eliminated any benefit at all that you would have gotten from the
right.
booster.
Right. Most modern cellular boosters are designed to automatically either power down so that they don't go into that oscillation mode.
Or they'll shut themselves off entirely. Right.
And now I know you guys are going to be checking it. We are as well. This newer company, this Solid RF, which claims that they have set up one that eliminates that problem if you mount it directly underneath the outside antenna. Mount the inside antenna directly outside underneath the outside antenna.
Yeah, there are ways to design boosters where you can, and antennas where you can basically have the inside and outside antennas pointing away from each other. You can do that manually when you're setting up any booster, but yeah, some boosters designs kind of take that more into account. Solid RF is doing some interesting stuff where they're actually putting the electronics or the booster, the amplification electronics, up on the roof, and so we will be getting that and testing that in the very soon.
I did the same thing, and I'm just trying to figure out how to route it all in without drilling holes, and that gets harder.
That's always a challenge. Anytime you're running antennas or routers and things like that, is all those holes. And we recommend, instead of thinking about just installing one device, is instead think about creating a conduit from your roof into your technology area inside your RV. That way you can easily pull wires in the future. So you're only doing it once, and it makes it a lot easier to change things out as technology evolves.
Great. Well, let me, before we move on, we're talking about cell. Let me just see if I got the bottom line here. One, AT&T and Verizon are close to being equal in terms of efficiency and coverage areas. It's good to have both of them if you can. Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's bottom line one. Number two is a cell phone booster is good in extreme remote places or places where you're having a very minimal signal, but turn it off when you don't need it. You don't
always test with and without to make sure it's actually giving you a benefit.
All right, and stay tuned because there might be even another player with Sprint and Sprint and T-Mobile merging. So yes. Cellular Wi-Fi or cellular connections is one. Now let's go to Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi, as you said, has notoriously, Chris, been just a mess in terms of campground usage. Is that getting better, or are there things we can do to make it better?
Well, if the campground's Wi-Fi is not good, there's nothing you can do to make it better. So what we recommend doing is take your smartphone, take your laptop, connect to that access point right next to it.
And walk up to the front office. Yeah.
If you're getting a good connection there, then you might be able to get a better connection back at your RV if you have Wi-Fi extending equipment.
And we always see people who spend a lot of money on Wi-Fi extending gear. They're all upset that it's not doing a great job. And we tell them, well, is it good up in the office? And they're like, no, it's horrible up there. It's like, well, you can't make a miracle here. It's bad up front. It's bad where your rig is. But if there is good signal up front, there is gear that will help you bring that, basically you get an antenna up high and bring it in over the roof of all the RVs around you, and that can make a pretty big difference.
And are you seeing campgrounds, are they improving the infrastructure behind their Wi-Fi systems at all?
We are getting more and more reports of campgrounds getting better. More campground managers are really listening to their customers that they want reliable Wi-Fi, that the RVer has changed. When we get to our RV sites, we want to be able to do video calls with our friends and family. We want to be able to stream Netflix and things like that. So we're not getting as many complaints about it, but if you rely on mobile internet, we recommend considering it a nice when it works, not a something that you use as your default.
You can't count on it.
Yeah, that's for sure. Now, what about, you mentioned Wi-Fi boosters. And there are a number of products out that purport to do that. How are they? Are they more effective? They're only effective if there's a good Wi-Fi network in the first place. We got that part.
Right.
But are there any cautions or tips that you'd give us in thinking about a Wi-Fi booster?
So look for one that supports both 2.4 and 5 gigahertz, being able to pick up both, because a lot of the ones that are out on the market only support 2.4 gigahertz, which is long range, and that's great. But those are where you get a lot of saturation in your channel. So a lot of noise basically happening. And then that actually can decrease your performance.
Right. And we're actually seeing the campgrounds that are investing in putting in good Wi-Fi are putting in basically dual band networks with 2.4 and 5 gigahertz. And the 5 gigahertz is the express lane and nobody else is using it. So the 5 gigahertz Wi-Fi, when we run across it, works so much better. And most of the outside Wi-Fi gear does not support it yet. So you've got to kind of hunt to find stuff that'll do it.
How about using free Wi-Fi, like at a Starbucks or some rest areas? Does that help at all? You can park a block away maybe at a Starbucks and be able to.
You might be able to if you have the access codes. I mean, a lot of those networks, the companies are putting them behind password protection because so many people are using it without being customer of that that company. So or if you have access to it, yeah, you can do that.
Or they're putting in limits where they'll only let you use it for half an hour. They'll detect your device and stuff like that. Just things to kind of keep people from parking far away. But and also the thing we've discovered is almost all of those places where you'd be parking trying to get free Wi-Fi from a block away, you probably have a really good cellular at most of those places anyway, and your cellular connection is likely going to be faster and simpler and easier.
There are devices now also on the market. We see the WineGuard Connect 2, for example, which is this bubble that mounts on the roof. And in it is a Wi-Fi booster and a cellular antenna, but not a booster. Talk about hybrid things like that.
So yeah, that device has, it supports, it's got the Wi-Fi extending it. It's got three antennas so that it can listen to more distant Wi-Fi. And that one actually works really well. And not only does the Connect 2 their LTE version, they have a Wi-Fi only version and an LTE version. The LTE version also has a cellular modem with two of those MIMO antennas that we were talking about earlier integrated right into it. So it's all on the roof. There's no opportunity for signal loss coming between the antennas and the modem, which is a great thing. But the modem that's inside of the Connect T2 is a little on the old side.
Yeah, we actually really like that concept for the future, is putting all the electronics up on the roof where they can get the best possible signals and you're not losing any of the signal to the cables coming inside. So it's the right direction. I would love to see where the Connect 3 and Connect 4 end up when they, you know, kind of catch up with where cellular technology is. But the concept is great.
So the Connect 2 is not a booster, but it has that that multiple antennas in it, right?
Exactly.
Is that
and correct. It's up higher. It's got two cellular antennas.
So would it be comparable then, or a substitute? Would you still need a booster after if you had that?
Not really, because if you to use a booster with that sort of setup, you would have to have the booster's interior antenna on the roof.
Right.
Yeah. Because the modem on that device is also on the roof. And that's what would actually be receiving the better signal.
Now, I know one of the things that Connect 2, which, and I'm getting a lot of email from people about that, is that it you can replace it with your own SIM card, because it's kind of on, they want you to use theirs, but you got to climb up on the roof to do that. But is there a SIM card, for example, in a data MiFi that you could take out and put in that? Does that
correct.
Work?
If your carrier allows what we call SIM swapping, and most carriers do, you can put the SIM card into the Connect 2 as well.
Like the really amazing Verizon plan that just went away, a lot of people were getting that plan and putting it up in their Connect 2 to get unlimited Verizon data, but can't get that anymore.
No more. They changed that. All right. So we've kind of gone through boosters. We've kind of gone through cellular. We've talked about Wi-Fi. Last area, and we only have a couple minutes here for this, is how far have we advanced in internet satellite technology? And is that something?
Last night was a huge night.
Yes.
So SpaceX just launched the first 60 satellites of their Starlink constellation, which is going to bring global broadband with only requiring an antenna the size of a medium pizza box that you can stick onto anything. But 60 satellites, that's a lot of satellites, but it's going to take them 13 total launches of 60 satellites each before they're able to cover the U.S.
So if you want satellite today, if you're really going out in the boonies away from cell signals and Wi-Fi signals, HughesNet Gen 5 is the current best option. You can get speeds. They advertise 15 megabit per second down, which is incredible for satellite. You do still have the high latency and you have large equipment you have to purchase. But if you go through a vendor that is authorized to provision for mobility, you can get trained up to actually set up the satellite dish at each location. You can't go direct with Hughes and get that provisioning though.
All right. So satellites close. We'll just say that for the average
person. A couple of years off before this low Earth stuff, because we also have Amazon and OneWeb that are competing in that space too.
Well, Chris and Cherie, you guys have been awesome. Mobile Internet Resource Center is where you put almost all of this information. You keep us up to date on these constantly changing plans. Your blog, Technomedia, and I just want to ask you to give people your addresses online and also tell us a little bit about how you guys use all this stuff. I mentioned it in the opening, but let's talk about the boats and the different RVs and what you're using now.
So we hit the road in 2006 in a small travel trailer. And then over the years, we have grown a nomadic fleet. We currently split our time.
Yeah, so we have a vintage bus, a 1961 vintage bus that we have converted and geeked out with solar power and lithium and everything. That is kind of our desert home. And then now we've got a Bayliner 4788 motor yacht. That is our water home.
And then we just purchased a 2016 Winnebago Travato that will be our daily driver from both of those vessels, and also what we use to get back and forth between them.
Across the country.
Because it'll be across country. So we now have a little fleet of nomadic vessels.
No home base, and no home base for 13 years now.
Oh, that's great. And you're thriving the whole way. All right, give everybody your email addresses, and I'll put them in the link as well.
Web addresses?
So you can find us online at technomadia.com. We have a YouTube channel as well, Facebook and Instagram. And we also will be featured at the upcoming PBS TV series, The RVers, coming out this fall. And then for the mobile internet stuff, that's our day job.
Yeah, so yeah, all that other stuff is the fun stuff and our personal travels. And then our work, our full-time job is tracking all these internet options. And we created the Mobile Internet Resource Center, which is member-funded, but there's a huge amount of free content there. And that's at mobileinternetinfo.com or also at rvmobileinternet.com, whichever name you remember.
And I want to put a plug in for that. I'm a member of that, and I can attest that I can sound like I really know what I'm talking about, but only because I have read these guys. And we'll send everybody there. Well, Chris and Cherie, you guys are always awesome, and we'll have to have you on even more. Enjoy the travels. Have a great summer season, and we'll see you online and out there on the road.
Great to catch up again, Mike. Thanks.
All right. Thanks to Chris and Cherie. I think that was a great interview. Lots of good information there.
Lots of information that I think everybody appreciates.
Now, you know why I've been climbing around on the roof for the last couple, 3 days and running wires here and there?
You're making me a little nervous.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want you falling off the roof. And whenever you run wires, I'm always afraid there's going to be holes.
Oh, no. Well, I'm trying to do any holes, actually. And we have set up two of those systems that we kind of just talked about. I have the Connect 2 system now up and running on our RV. And I also have added this new solid RF cell phone booster where the electronics mounts on the roof. And we've got a big video that will come out tomorrow, May 30th, 2019. Now, those of you listening way in the future, you can go find that. And those of you looking for it tomorrow, who are listening in almost real time as this podcast is released, you can find that on our RV Lifestyle channel on YouTube. And I'll show you, we'll do an unpacking of the solid RF system and how I installed it. And then the same thing, we'll talk about the Connect 2. And then the more exciting thing is I ran a couple of tests with them all. And you'll see the results in the tests. But bottom line is we have a redundant system now on ours. We have both AT&T, and we have Verizon, and we have a booster, and we've got a Wi-Fi amplifier. All this stuff all comes together, and we'll be testing it because we're leaving next week for Canada where we can operate the system. I bought a plan for Canada for a month and then also back down into the U.S. into some pretty remote country in the Adirondacks, so you'll know how all that's going to work.
Now I know why I haven't seen much of you the last few days.
Well, it's hard to put this video together, and I should save all the outtakes and the bloopers, you know, when, you know, they give you these weird shaped screws. You get up on the middle of the roof and you're ready to put this on, install it, and it's got some bizarre screw head that you got to go get down off the roof and rummage through the toolbox for it. Or better yet, the day I got up on the roof and they said, yep, you got to pop the SIM card and set the reset button for 30 seconds. It'll be all set. So I got up on the roof and took the cover off, popped the SIM card. There was no reset button. And it's about ready to start raining. And then I try and call the tech support. And tech support puts you on hold. And I'm just climbing back and they call me back. And sure enough, there was a reset button. It's just that you needed a magnifying glass, and then you needed a ballpoint or a paperclip to push this little reset button in, and I didn't have one of those up on the roof, and Anyway, but the bottom line, you won't see any of that, all that stuff. I suppose it'd make a pretty funny video. I probably should save them for outtakes sometime.
Mm. Just don't save any of the bloopers I've done.
Yeah, I value my life, dear. All right, anyway, we'll have a video if you want to see what Chris and Cherie look like. And I think I'm going to even leave some of the bloopers in the video. We're talking about internet connectivity. Of course, I'm interviewing them on the internet, and then it loses signal for a little bit. But I'll leave that in the video, and it's kind of fun. And then we have a transcript of their interview and links to all the places that they suggested. And we'll have them back on the show. If you've got some specific things you'd like us to ask them, send us an email, mikeandjen@rvlifestyle.com, or just leave us that voicemail message at 586-372-6990. The interview of the week is brought to you by sunshinestatervs.com. That's sunshinestatervs.com, all one word, where every new motorhome is delivered to the customer free anywhere in North America. Sunshine State RVs has the largest selection of used small motorhomes in North America. You can't find anybody with more of them. They have a huge inventory of all the favorite brands like Pleasureway, Winnebago, Leisure Travel Vans, Coachman, Road Trek. They have more used Class Bs from the early 90s to the current year. You'll not find a wider selection anywhere. And then they also have a whole bunch of new RVs. They specialize, in fact, in new RVs like the Winnebago Travato, the Winnebago Era, Coachman, American Patriot, the Fleetwood IROC, and more. You need to check them out. The thing that I really appreciate so much about Nick Schmidt and his crew at sunshinestatervs.com is that every RV they sell goes through a very thorough 172-point inspection. They make sure that all the mechanical and the manual systems are in top condition. They road test them. They make sure they run and drive the way they should. They go over the interior components just as entirely as the outside. And every component turned on and tested to make sure it works. And all of their used RVs thoroughly cleaned and detailed inside and out, and even checking the roof for cracks, and they'll replace silicone caulking. And if you buy a motorhome from them anywhere in the U.S., the continental U.S., they'll deliver it to your driveway free. So check them out, sunshinestatervs.com.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path, a unique RV podcast travel suggestion you probably won't find in a guidebook. Here's Mike.
Okay, my dear, are you hungry? As we're recording this the day before it's released, it's almost dinner time. You getting hungry?
Well, a little bit.
How about some barbecue?
I can't. Yeah, barbecue sounds really good.
Well, that's where we're going to go with our friends Tom and Patty Burkett, who are off the beaten path at a place called the Moonlight Barbecue.
Hi, Mike and Jennifer. We stopped mid-morning for coffee with friends in Louisville. Eyes lit up when we mentioned our lunch destination. Gosh, said Susan, I haven't had a good plate of mutton in way too long. Are you going to the Old Hickory? And that's the question. When you chat with someone in Owensboro, Kentucky, or anyone who's a regular visitor, they want to know where you get your barbecue. Do you eat at the Old Hickory or at the Moonlight? We chose the latter simply because Tom wanted a picture of Kentucky's largest burgoo pot.
We must be getting close, Patty said, as the smell of barbecue smoke wafted in through the window, and soon enough we were in the parking lot. The place itself reminded us of a Wisconsin supper club, all old wood and family tables. We started with a satisfying trip to the burgoo kettle and were not disappointed. Somewhere between a soup and a stew, it's traditionally made with at least three meats and the usual cast of vegetables, including often okra. It's rich and spicy and ladled into bowls next to a slab of cornbread. Some towns have chili cook-offs. Some host pancake breakfasts. Others offer a sausage boil or a 10-foot apple pie. In Kentucky, when it's community fundraiser time, you can expect a big pot of burgoo, hence the giant pot out front.
A wide selection of tasty side dishes lined the buffet, but the meat took center stage. Sliced and chopped mutton, pulled pork, chicken, and ribs all sat in a steaming row. The mutton is a local specialty not served in many other places, and despite our initial reluctance, we both found it quite tasty and went back for a second helping. The extensive salad bar was well stocked and fresh, and on it we discovered banana salad, made from a family recipe. Rather than giving a less than accurate description, we encourage you to look it up. It was excellent.
When you walk into the Moonlight, your first look is at a carry-out counter that has all the items on the menu and a few meats that aren't. You could just as easily stock your fridge for later in the day and keep on rolling if you don't want to spend an hour or two making multiple trips to the buffet. Come to think of it, this might be the better choice.
When you're in the vicinity of Owensboro, there are some other things to do. About 30 minutes north is the Lincoln Boyhood National Memorial. It was here that Abe grew to a young manhood, guided first by his mother Nancy, then after her death by his stepmother Sarah. Both encouraged him to study and cultivated his talents and inquisitive nature. His father, Thomas, was a strong influence as well, being a man known for his honesty and kindness. The farm is a living history museum staffed with interpreters in period garb working the farm as it would have been done in the early 1800s. A nearby memorial houses a museum and a short film.
One more thing to look for out here is the small town of Santa Claus, Indiana. This place takes its job seriously. Thousands of letters arrive here every year addressed to the Jolly Fat Man. A crew of local residents ensures that each one gets a reply. As you might expect, you can shop for seasonal goodies, and if you have a mighty yen for the holiday spirit in midsummer, take in the Christmas-themed amusement park and water slides, play a round of golf at Christmas Lake, or mount a steed, maybe even a reindeer, at Santa's stables.
You needn't travel far to find something unusual, delicious, or moving. It's all just down that road you haven't driven yet, and lots of it. We're Patty and Tom Burkett, and we'll look for you out here in the buffet line or hoeing corn at the Lincoln Farm, just a bit off the beaten path.
I didn't know about Burgoo, and we go that way all the time.
We have been missing something, sir.
All right, I'm going. I mean, Burgoo sounds great. That sounds really good. And I like
okra. I was thinking Lincoln's Farm. I wanted to go see that.
Yeah, well, all right. Next trip down I-65 towards Louisville. We're heading there.
Traveling and celebrating the RV lifestyle. This has been the RV Podcast with journalist Mike Wendlin. Got a question for the next episode? Just click the send voicemail link on the RVpodcast.com blog. Till then, we'll see you out there. Somewhere off the beaten path.
All right, that was a lot of fun. I enjoyed this episode.
I do too, and very informative.
Yep, lots of great stuff. If you haven't subscribed to our podcast, it comes out every Wednesday morning, and we're available on all of your, whatever your favorite podcast app is, just search it for RV Podcast, and please hit the subscribe button. Give us a review. We love those 5-star reviews. And speaking of subscribing, don't forget our YouTube channel, our YouTube video channel. New videos out every Thursday. Every Sunday night, we usually do a live show on YouTube at 7 o'clock Eastern Time. And tomorrow, or the day, even today, as this episode is released, we'll put a video version of our interview with Chris and Cherie, so you can see that. So lots to check on, and we hope you're getting ready for a great summer travel season as well. Don't forget the questions. We'd love to get your questions. Call and leave a message on our voicemail message machine at 586-372-6990. I'm Mike Wendlin.
And Jennifer Wendlin, and happy trails.
Bye-bye.